Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 2014 financial results call for Sunrise. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 26th of March, 2015. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Uwe Schiller. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello and welcome to our 2014 financial results call. My name is Uwe Schiller. I'm responsible for corporate finance and investor relations at Sunrise. With me on the call today are Libor Fonchina, our CEO, Andre Krause, CFO, Tim Degenhardt, Chief Marketing Officer, CMO, and Stefan Kern, our Head of Corporate Communication. In the first part of today's presentation, we will talk about the 2014 financial results of the group before its listing on the SIX Swiss Stock Exchange on February 6, 2015. With the second part, we will give some more details on the capital structure and the market update of the listed group. With this, I would like to hand over to Libor to give you an overview of the 2014 highlights. Libor?
Thank you, Uwe. Welcome to everybody on this call. It's a pleasure to introduce to you the summary of 2014 for Sunrise. It has been a very eventful year. It has had the best year ever for Sunrise in many aspects. We have had revenue growth of 3.1%, reaching 2 billion and 84 million Swiss francs in revenue, and a 2.8% growth in EBITDA, also the best EBITDA ever for Sunrise, reaching 638 million Swiss francs adjusted EBITDA. Now, the success of the year has been largely based on the three areas of focus and investment that we have done. One is the network. We have had our peak investment year into modernizing and upgrading our network, both mobile and fixed. It resulted in a capex spend in 2014 of 356 million Swiss francs. We've also launched the LTE and all those investments into improving the infrastructure and network performance have yielded good results. In 2014, we have had a Connect result of very good, and overall ended up as the third best mobile network in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. Even more importantly, for mobile telephony, we were ranked as the best network in that region. Second area of investment for us has been customer experience. Not only have we increased the resources that we have in order to provide a good customer service, but we have, on the back of overall focus of all Sunrise employees across all the units, improve the servicing levels, and therefore also customer satisfaction have risen in the course of 2014. We measure that as the net promoter score, and we've had a big improvement both in shops as well as in our contact centers. Next to that, we also publish everything, our accessibility as well as our starting rates. And then the third area of investment has been innovative, customer-relevant offerings. On back of those, we've launched Sunrise Freedom for mobile. We've launched Home for the fixed side, and Sunrise, a clear convergent advantage for the Sunrise customers. And on back of that, we've seen net post additions on the mobile side. We've seen the success of Mobile Freedom, having more than 37% of our customer base on Freedom at the end of last year, and the continuous growth of IPTV, but also a first quarter of turning the coin on the wireline, having net positive additions on our fixed line. So with all those improvements that we've done in Sunrise, we've largely improved our performance. And what we needed is add additional boost to to reduce the gap between our improved performance and the perception on the market, and with that it really helped us in partnering with Roger Federer as Sunrise brand ambassador. Roger represents the values like in Sunrise corporate values like fairness and transparency, and we've actually seen acceleration of our brand awareness on back of that partnership. It also allowed us to point out some of the key improvements that we've made in the course of 2014. Now, 2014 has been very eventful, and we've been able to crown this with a very successful IPO at the beginning of this year. It has been a big IPO in many respects, the biggest one in the 6 week stock exchange since 2006, and also the biggest IPO in the EMEA area in the telecoms since 2004. We were primarily focused in using the proceeds of the IPO to reduce the leverage of the business, and therefore with a very successful and quick refinancing that happened just within days after the IPO that resulted in basically annualized savings of 170 million Swiss francs. Andre will talk to you more in details about that. So today we are a listed company on the Swiss Stock Exchange with 75% of our stock being in the free float and owned by both Swiss investors and the global ones. And with that, I will ask Andre to take you through some more details of 2014.
Yes, thank you, Libor, and also good afternoon from my side. I'm very happy to guide you through the results of a quite successful year for Sunrise. Let's kick off with slide number 8 and the mobile subscription development. On the left-hand side, you see the customer base development. I would like to point out three key dynamics that you can see. First of all, and most importantly to us economically, is actually development of the postpaid customer base, which grew throughout the year with 58,000 subscribers. And especially after the launch of the Freedom products, we have seen a increased momentum and also stable momentum throughout the course of the year. In the fourth quarter, we could add 16,000 net additions, again confirming the good momentum in this postpaid market segment. Secondly, we introduced last year our postpaid secondary reporting, and this was on the back of us expecting that additional SIM cards providing internet access, data connections to customers will be of increasing importance, and we see that actually happening now with wearables, watches, and of course tablets. And Tim will also later on elaborate a bit on how our tariff structure since Q1 will cater for that need of the customers. We have seen a growth in this market segment of 10,000 net additions or 9,000 net additions throughout the course of the year, but we are expecting also some quite dynamic growth throughout the year of 2006. And certainly the prepaid business, and as you all know, the prepaid business is structurally under pressure as the advantages of prepaid, of cost control of the past actually are getting away with more and more flat rates being offered, and secondly also customers seeking smartphones which are less available on the prepaid offerings. Therefore, we see a structural decline in that business, not only in Sunrise and the Swiss market, but also across other markets and players. And this is something that we have seen for quite a while. That has continued throughout the course of 2014. We have seen a bit of an acceleration in the fourth quarter, where we actually have seen two other additional effects. One was homegrown, which was our economic decision to actually exit the free SIM business, which has actually turned into a negative profitable exercise. Therefore, we actually decided to no longer conduct this. This means we are not getting additional gross adds from that, but also see still some churn from the past quarters. that has actually accelerated the decline. It's not a value-driving decline, as effectively the cost upside that we have on the other hand side is offsetting the lower revenues that we are doing from that segment of the market. The second one is actually a competition-driven one, where we have seen that with the launch of the Orange offer in the post channel, where we have been having quite a high market share with our ethnic prepaid segments, we have lost a bit of that market share in the fourth quarter. But Tim will also talk later on about our response in that specific channel with the yellow offering that we have just recently introduced. So all in all, that are the three key dynamics that we see on the subscriber base. Looking at the ARPU side of things on the right-hand side, you can see that there is actually a strong softening of the declining trend. In the first two quarters of 2014, we have seen a decline year on year of more than 6 Swiss francs in both quarters. That has come down just below under 3 Swiss francs in the third quarter and has turned to just 70 rappen in the fourth quarter. So we see quite a strong softening of that trend. And I will also later on elaborate and give you some more details on how we see the postpaid gross profit post the Freedom implementation developing. Now with that, moving on, I'd like to give you also the additional information on the prepaid customer base, including a 12-month definition. So as you know, we always report on a 3-month rule, but we also would like to provide a 12-month number in order to allow for a market comparison in regards to market shares, as our competitors are only reporting on a 12-month rule. As fleshed out in the past, we don't believe that this is actually of any additional value, because you can see that between the two definitions for the year end, there was like 750,000 incremental prepaid customers we would count under a 12-month rule, but they would not change, of course, our revenue figures. So kind of these incremental 750,000 in our case are just driven by the definition without any incremental value. Now with that, moving on to slide 10 and the fixed net side of things. Here we have seen actually also two key dynamics. The first one is looking at the internet subscriber base, where we have seen a decline in the first two quarters, and effectively we have seen a decline in total over 8 quarters. We actually, with the introduction of the new Sunrise Home portfolio that now covers all of the bandwidth and speed requirements of customers, we actually came back strongly to the market, could therefore already in the third quarter reduce the decline, and then for the first time since 2 years turn to positive again in the fourth quarter, which is a reflection of our commercial success with that new product portfolio. Additionally, and that's the second dynamic, is that in TV, we see a continued growth trajectory happening. We have added and grown by 44% throughout the year, now reaching 107,000, and have seen also a very strong fourth quarter with 10,000 additions, which was the highest number of additions for the past 2 years. Which actually displays also the attractiveness of the product. And to give you another example, of course, with 170,000 subscribers on TV, we are not having a huge market share yet. However, if we look at our net ad market share in the third quarter, for example, where we have all the competitive information, there we have seen between 20 and 30% market share. So we are actually trading well above our weight at this point in time. Now, this subscriber development is also providing us an uplift on the internet and also the blended ARPUs that we see, which have been growing by 3 and 8% respectively over the last year. The two drivers here are very much the drive towards higher speeds, which comes with higher prices for customers, and thus is helping the internet ARPU. On the other hand side, of course, in the blended one, the increasing amount of TV subscriptions on top is adding to the ARPU as well. Now with that, let's have a look at revenue and EBITDA development on slide number 11. We have seen a 3.1% revenue growth for the full year, which was even more pronounced in the fourth quarter, where we have seen a revenue growth of 7.6%. That was largely driven also by a stronger push on the hardware side. Here we have seen that the iPhone 6 actually was, in terms of volume generated in the fourth quarter, was 75% higher than the iPhone 5 a year ago. So in this respect, there was quite a strong drive for hardware, which has actually helped the revenue growth that we have seen. We could also convert that revenue growth into an EBITDA growth, and you see on a reported EBITDA a growth from 614 to 640 million, which represents a 4.3% growth. On an adjusted EBITDA base, it would be a growth from 620 to 638, representing 2.8% growth. Now, as we have done in the last quarter, I would also like to share with you the impact of Freedom on our gross profit. And as we have introduced this analysis in the second and third quarter last year, you're probably familiar with the way how we are looking at this. We have seen, driven by the price adjustments and the price decline that was happening during the course of 2012, we have seen that peaking with a gross profit impact in the third quarter 13. Since then, we see a relaxation, which was then accelerated also with the introduction of Freedom, turned towards a break even in the third quarter, and actually has continued to perform positively towards a 4.7 million growth in the fourth quarter. So this is also a representation of the strong Freedom development and the strong momentum that we see in this business. Let me remind you that the red line that you see is actually then adding back to the pure service gross profit, also the hardware revenues that we have received through the installments of the customers, in order to allow for a like-for-like comparison in this graph. Now, largely for your reference, on slide 12, you find the P&L result overview for the quarter as well as for the full year. Probably, as I mentioned already, the fourth quarter has shown that very strong revenue growth, as mentioned, largely driven by hardware on the back of the iPhone 6 success that we have been seeing. And also then on the EBITDA side, we have seen an 11.3% growth year on year, which was pretty high, resulting in the total growth numbers that you have seen already. On the operating income and net income, you see that the operating income has grown by almost 50 million from 129 million to 178 million. And on the back of that, and also on the back of 28 million less financial items and almost stable taxes, we have seen the net income on the basis on the base on the level of Sunrise Communications Holdings. We have seen a reported IFRS net income of minus 8 coming from minus 82. Now, with that, also looking at cash flow on slide number 13, and again, I think the key important messages here are if we look at the change in working capital, which for the full year has been a minus 53 on the back of the introduction of Freedom. And I think you're all familiar with the mechanics by now. So, of course, that has actually driven some working capital decline. Additionally, I think it's also important to mention the interest payments of 163 million. You will see later on a higher figure, so please keep in mind that this 163 million is representing all of the debt-driven interest payments on the level of the Sunrise Communications Holdings, while the PIC note in the past was in the MCIG, which is above that entity. So therefore, there's another 53 million of interest missing in this view. Then if we look at the CapEx, and I will show you a bit more detail on the CapEx on the next slide, but 356 million an accelerated investment, and that is also something we have talked through in the past, which then drives a cash flow of 56 million, equity free cash flow being 49 million. And then if we look at the total cash flow, 31 million negative, which has resulted in a cash position at the end of the year of 120 million. Now, if we move to slide 14, as already said, you find the split of CapEx, where we have increased our CapEx spend level by 75 million or 26.7% to 356 million. Now, there were quite some extraordinary investments or one-off type of investments, and you know that we were always guiding towards a normalized CapEx by the year 2016. To give a bit more light on that, what this actually means is the years 2013 and 2014, in our view, have carried, let's say, extraordinary investment items in the range of 60 in 13 and 126 million in 14. Therefore, if you look at the underlying normalized investment level, we are speaking about 220, 230 million in the range of what we have talked about in the past. And if we look at 2014, the two key investments that are part of this 126 million is the LTE rollout, which has largely been accelerated during the course of 14, but secondly also the co-investment that we have done together with Swisscom, which was also a one-off type investment in order to secure the necessary infrastructures on the fixed debt side. Now, looking at slide 15, looking at the net debt and leverage ratio at the year end, and this is now really, please keep in mind this at the year end, and you will see in a few slides also how this has evolved post-IPO. But at the year end, we had a total debt of 2.394 billion. With additional cash at hand at the end of the year of 120 million, that gives you the net debt position of 2.274 billion, which is equivalent to a 3.6 times leverage ratio at the end of the year. Additionally, above the holdings, the senior PIK toggle notes with 631 million. So if we look at the total group, then it would result into a leverage ratio of 4.6 times and a total debt close to 3 billion. Now, with that, I'd like to move over from, let's say, 2014 to 2015 and also to the Sunrise Communications Group AG to provide a bit of an update on what has happened in the IPO and how are things looking like post-IPO. Now, if you look at slide number 17, I think Libor touched on the key points already. It was a largely successful IPO, a very large one for Switzerland, the largest one since 2006. We actually have a free float of 75%, as already mentioned. CVC remains with a share of about 25% on the business. We could conduct back-to-back a quite successful refinancing of the remaining debt. And I'll talk through that in a second. And on the back of that, have also been able to even overachieve the expected interest cost reduction through that exercise. Now, before I give a little bit more detail on the numbers, firstly, on slide 18, you find the new group structure post-IPO, which I believe is important to understand that from now on, the reporting entity will change from Sunrise Communications Holding to Sunrise Communications Group AG, which also means that the comparables that we will provide will include for 2015 will include Sunrise Communications Holdings plus the Mobile Challenger Intermediate Group in order to give the best possible comparable throughout the upcoming year. And additionally, I think what is also important to note is where the debt instruments are located to the structure. So you see if you go to the bottom of the structure, you see that there's 1 billion of Term Loan B that sits at the level of Sunrise Communications AG, so the operative entity. And also you see that there's 200 million of revolving credit facility that also sit on this entity. Then if you move up on the Sunrise Communications holdings, here we have additional 360 million of Term Loan B and also the issued senior secured notes of 500 million Swiss francs. Now with that structure clarification, let's have a look at how the new capital structure looks like. So as we said, we used the proceeds from the IPO to delever the business from 4.6 times to a pro forma number of 2.7 times, and you see the capital increase of 1.36 billion has most largely been used in order to repay debt. And additionally, on the right-hand side, you see the impact of both, of not only the delevering, but also of the refinancing. And you have seen that we have the 1.36 of term loan, which are financed at 2.5%, and we also issued the 500 million bond at 2.125%, which was one of the lowest high yield bonds issued in Europe ever. So that gives us an average cost of that structure of 2.4%, which effectively means in a complete year we would see a interest cost reduction of 170 million coming from 215 million down to 45 million. For 2015, we are estimating 62 million. This is now, of course, including the additional cost of the old structure for the first 6 weeks of the year. So we totally are expecting the 62 million. The last page of my part is actually now then also providing you the details of the debt instruments. I think I mentioned largely already the amounts, but also the margins. Additionally, you see the maturity profiles that we have and also the call structure, which gives you a bit more insight into the structure. And also you see the pro forma net debt post-IPO being 2.7 times. Now with that, I conclude my part of the presentation and I'm happy to hand over to Tim.
Thank you, André, and good afternoon also from my side. The year 2014 was an important year for us. We innovated across our complete residential product portfolio, and it is this innovation that is really driving our customer growth numbers behind that. Now, why is that working so well? Well, what we have done is we have created a product portfolio that is really focused on the needs of the customers, looked at it through the eyes of the customers. They come to the conclusion that our product simply makes sense. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to just give you a couple of examples of how that actually works. For example, our youth portfolio. Most young people use WhatsApp today. So what did we do? We included unlimited data usage for WhatsApp in our youth tariffs in Switzerland. It's a feature that is really working very well and it's providing us with good growth in that segment. Second example, on the mainstream mobile tariffs, our customers were really looking for transparency and fairness. That was not possible with a subsidized model that was also characterized by very long contract duration. So with the introduction of Freedom, we actually provided transparency about the cost for the device as well as the service. We gave the customers the ability to move up and down within the tariff structure. And importantly, we also abolished the contract duration, which was very well recognized both from the customers and consumer associations. Third example, we have a strong momentum towards convergence within Switzerland, and our convergence solution also is very fair and transparent. It's very simply a discount when you combine mobile and fixed net products of 10%. It's easy, it's fair and transparent, and it's also simple to communicate both to our channels and to the final customers. As the final example I want to give you, we have Sunrise Rewards. We're the only telco company in Switzerland that is offering a rewards system, thereby really giving a recognition to the customer of staying with Sunrise. All of this only works in a sustainable way when also customer service and the network quality are, of the level of customers' expectation. Also here we have done strong investments. Our customer service KPIs have seen a very strong improvement in all dimensions. And it's not just our internal KPIs that are improving, it's also the customer that is relating that back to us through the NPS score that they provide to us. We have introduced NPS in the second quarter 2013, and since then this customer satisfaction measure has gone up by around 40%. Now, if you move to the next page, page 23, we want to continue to go on this way, and we will continue to build our products on our three values of fairness, transparency, and customer orientation. In the year 2015, we have reinforced our freedom tariffs with shared data, which is a very convenient and simple way to leverage your data also on a tablet and to serve on a tablet. Secondly, we have provided a postpaid option now for our prepaid customers on the Yellow brand, thereby responding to the need of prepaid customers to come to a postpaid tariff. For both of those topics, I will give you some more detail on the following pages. We continuously strengthen our Sunrise TV product, and we're doing it right now also with exclusive content. We have exclusive deals so that we can provide the newest editions of series from the US, which we call Hot from the US, which we provide to our customers only 72 hours after the first airing in the US. And the topic of roaming, we continue to pursue our way of giving the customer exactly what he needs, and making them therefore also pay for what he needs. We have just launched a new tariff option that has 200 minutes, SMS, and megabytes included for Region 1, which is basically the region in Europe, and that only costs 35 Swiss francs. We have completely changed around the way that we deal with broken handsets. We have one of the fastest services in Switzerland by which you can get a replacement handset within a day, also through the selection of a new partner. And we have also innovated on data, and we have provided the most competitive data products for our prepaid area. Now, let me go into Freedom Share Data a little bit more in detail. With this offer, you can basically use your unlimited data volume from your Sunrise Freedom subscription on a tablet, and this for only 5 Swiss francs in a month. That works because in the meantime we have built one of the best data networks, and we also have very good availability of LTE based tablets. With shared data you can basically also get an additional device, an additional tablet for a 1 Swiss franc, and then have a device plan on this one. So you can very simply and easily serve both on your mobile subscription as well as on your tablet, and you can even do that if you want at the same time. With shared data, Sunrise participates in the very strongly increasing data usage, which is really being driven from the introduction of LTE network and also the availability of LTE devices. Our products even encourage that data usage because of their transparency and the absolute cost control that is being given to the customer. Moving on to page 25. Here we also have a strong trend in the Swiss market that André has already referred to. It's really about the migration from prepaid customers into the postpaid segment, as well as the establishment of international flat rates. Now, we're ideally positioned to benefit from those trends, as we have with the brand Yallo, a brand that has always been very strongly positioned for international calls. What we have done now is we have built up this portfolio and are offering, as of the middle of March, 3 postpaid tariffs under the Yallo brand. Number one, unlimited towards Europe for only 25 Swiss francs a month. Number two, unlimited in Switzerland and Europe for 39 Swiss francs. And finally, 200 minutes into the countries of the Balkans, as well as a flat for Switzerland for only 75 Swiss francs. Also, this is a differentiating and unique offering in the market. With this offer, we can encourage our prepaid customers to migrate from the current Yallo product, prepaid product, onto the postpaid tariff. We have also done an exclusive arrangement with La Poste, where we offer the middle tariff with an additional benefit of unlimited WhatsApp data use included. So with that, we can ensure that Yallo remains the leading brand in the Swiss market for calls towards international destinations, and also by doing so, we're transforming Yallo Communications Company into a postpaid business. Last but not least, I would like to give you some additional information about our business segment. Business Sunrise is very strongly positioned for growth through a very complete product portfolio, a very strong customer service, and a reliable network. Through this, we are really the only true competitor or alternative to Swisscom in the Swiss market, and this will also allow us to grow our market share in the future. What we can see already is that our proposition is working. In the year 2004, we have acquired a number of very important large customers, for example, the Post, Coffee, Alstom, Berlitz Language Services, SR Technics, which is essentially the company that provides for airline support services, Coop Rechtsschutz, which is an insurance company, the police in Geneva, and Strabag, which is essentially a company that builds roads in Switzerland, and also the Rhetische Bahnen, which is a local railway company quite important in the eastern part of Switzerland, and that serves all the destinations, the ski destinations there. Now, the success in the large segment also helps us building more momentum in the small and medium segment. For these segments, we have also now entered into a partnership with Microsoft, and we will provide Microsoft cloud solutions together with our tariffs as of the middle of May, when we will launch with OneDrive, the first product in this area that provides both storage and collaboration solution. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a very simple strategy. We provide great infrastructure and networks. We have first-class customer service, and we have very innovative and customer-oriented products. In this way, we have grown in the year 2014, and that's exactly what we want to continue. With this, I would like to give the word back to Libo.
Thank you, Tim. And let me just remark on 2014 has really marked an inflection point for Sunrise and at its return to growth. Myself have joined Sunrise just a bit more than 2 years ago, and can proudly say that you are looking to a new Sunrise today. We've significantly invested in network quality, in network modernization, in customer experience, and we've taken you through the innovative product portfolio that we've launched, and all of that has helped our commercial momentum. Where we stand today, the current trading shows continued momentum in line with our expectations. So as we've spoken to many of you, our opportunity is to grow in a couple of fields across the market, but also we continue to focus on our cost efficiencies going forward. On the network investment side, we've had our peak year in 2014, and we are, while we still have a number of investments primarily focusing on increasing our LTE coverage, we're on our track to normalize the CapEx in 2016 as projected. We've also change our capital structure. Our pro forma capital structure is at 2.7 net debt to EBITDA. As Andre has spoken to you, and the refinancing that happened immediately after the IPO really underpinned our significant free cash flow growth for 2015. We reiterate our distribution policy, so we've committed to at least 135 million Swiss francs dividend for 2015 to be paid in 2016. We will pay out at least 65% of equity free cash flow from 2016 onwards, and our target leverage is 2.5 times, beyond which we will be returning the excess cash flow to the shareholders. And with that, I would end up the overview and give it back to Uwe.
Yeah, thanks, Libo, thanks, Andre, and thanks, Tim. And with this, I actually would like to, as the operator, to start the Q&A session. Could you please ask for Q&As and start the session?
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. So our first question comes from the line of Frank Knowles. Please ask your question.
Hello. Yes, thank you for taking the question. I just had a couple of questions actually on the plans for this year. You did a really good job in 2014 on the cost efficiency side with partly, I think, due to some of your IT and call center investments. Just wondered if that sort of momentum in terms of improving SG&A is likely to continue through 2015. Secondly, on the CapEx side, I just wondered that you mentioned that the one-off sort of co-investment on the fixed side with Swisscom. I just wondered if there's any further CapEx to be done on the fixed side with the Swisscom, the new sort of Swisscom arrangements on wholesale, or whether that's it now for good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Firstly, on your cost question. Overall, I mean, as part of the IPO, we were always explaining the DNA of the cost improvements that we see coming. So throughout the two last years, we have seen on average a EBITDA margin improvement of 30 to 40 basis points, which we said we believe we can continue. And as you picked upon, one area is actually the customer service, where we see opportunities by moving customer service online, but also improving efficiencies. Another area is within the network, where we are benefiting now from the investments made and the swapping out of older platforms. And the third area is also in regards to sales, which probably will not have too much of an effect this year, but more of that to be coming next year, while we are also driving more sales online and are currently updating our systems in order to be capable to do so. On your CapEx-related question, with Swisscom, the CapEx portion of that deal is done. As we communicated in the third quarter, there is an IRU component that is, there are two additional installment payments which have to be made, but the CapEx part is fully recognized in 2014. And in regards to CapEx normalization, we do see that 2015 already will mark a substantial reduction of our spend levels, and we are approaching the normalized level then for 2016. And I think we also guided towards 270 to 275 million of investments that we are expecting for 2015.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Vikram Karmani. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Vikram Karmani from UBS. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the financial outlook, you know, you mentioned that the current trading shows continued momentum. Could you elaborate a bit further in terms of what you have seen so far? I mean, is this momentum also visible around the equipment revenues? You know, equipment revenues were quite strong in Q4. Should we see the same impact? And also, is there any qualitative feel you can give around the 2015 financial performance at this stage? I know you haven't given any guidance per se, or is it more expected towards the later half of this year? That's one. Second thing was around roaming. You know, we have seen Swisscom announcing some aggressive prices around roaming, and which was later followed by Orange. I see you making moves recently with ELO, and I just want to understand your thinking around that particular issue. You know, would you be planning to match it? I understand as well, you know, it's not regulated as such. So what is your strategy around, you know, in terms of the positioning with regards to roaming?
Thanks, Vikram. So first of all, looking at the equipment revenue question and the outlook on this, yes, we have seen a strong hardware revenue in the fourth quarter, which was related to the launch. Now, if we look how Q1 has started, we still do see that there is a bit more hardware revenues actually happening than a year ago, but much less of an incremental growth compared to what we have seen in the fourth quarter. So it's more on, I would say, a normal level now, while we have really seen a peak behavior with many customers jumping on the new phone that came with a new form factor, but that wave is largely through. So we are expecting some sort of normalization. And additionally, also we believe that some of the customers that we would have expected to jump onto new hardware during the course of 15 have already done so at the end of 14. So therefore, we are expecting that hardware revenues might be even a bit lighter throughout the year. And regarding roaming, probably Tim can elaborate a bit on this.
Yes, we are quite well positioned on the topic of roaming through the options and the tariffs that we have already launched, where we can be giving our customers very specific and very attractive tariffs. That's the first point I would make. The second point I would make is that the roaming rates are not really a driver for acquisition of customers on the mobile side. But eventually they will be important for our existing customers, and therefore we need to see what the effect is of the longer term effect of the Swisscom moves. Thirdly, what I would say is that we are reviewing all options at this point in time. As you may know, this was a topic also for the political establishment in Switzerland. It was eventually decided that this should not be regulated, so it is open to us to make a commercial decision about that, and we're looking in very much detail at this right now.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Carola Bardelli. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions from my side. I was wondering if you would see the mobile ARPUs stabilizing in 2015 on the full year, considering the good performance we saw in Q4. And the other related question is on the contract with the Swiss Post, when we should expect it to start producing revenues. And maybe the last couple of ones are, one, we saw several European markets announcing mobile consolidation. So I was wondering if maybe 2015 could be the year for announcement of a consolidation on the Swiss market as well. And very lastly, margin improvement we saw in the business segment in 2014, is that sustainable in 15, or is there additional room for growth there? Thank you very much.
So if I start off with the mobile ARPU, effectively, I think if you look at the numbers, you see that there was a strong stabilization trend and already happening in 2014. I would expect that to actually continue. However, as we have not given a detailed outlook on that figure, I would also not do so at this point in time. And then probably on the margin improvement, not sure I understand fully your question. Was it related to the Sunrise total, or were you referring to the
business? The business segment. I saw in the business segment that there was a margin improvement. So I was wondering if we could have a little bit more color on the trends in the business, what you're seeing in the business market in general.
Yeah, so I think here we are also working on cost improvements on the business side of things. However, the key focus on business is towards growth, and that's where we are very much focusing on. And as Tim has elaborated on, we have seen some customer wins which have not yet materialized into revenues in total, which is your Swiss Post question, which Tim will answer in a second. So in total, I would believe that there is room for some margin improvement on the business customer, on the business segment side. However, the bigger focus for us is clearly on driving top-line growth in that segment, given the successes we have seen already, and now moving also stronger into the SME segment, which provides even larger opportunities in our view.
Yes, maybe specifically on the post implementation, as you can imagine, that is a fairly large project which is now in the phase of ramping up. So we believe that across the second quarter we can do the real wrap up of this, and therefore we'll then see the revenue impact of La Poste at that point in time. And from then onwards, as you can also imagine, this is a gradual build up of the business case. Maybe also to just say our success on the business side is really helping us to position us in the SME segment, and also our launch of the Microsoft partnership is really helping us to then gain even a stronger foothold into the SME business, and this is also going to provide us with additional firing power to be successful in the market, to gain customers but also to keep customers. And maybe for the last question, I hand over to you, Oliver.
Yeah. So the your question on potential consolidation on the Swiss market, our focus really is on standalone business. We do have a pilot in place that is actually continuing, because you know there's still technical implementation on that one, and you know even on this with the ownership change, there was some delay. So we'll you know come back as we go along through 2015 on what is the pilot of network sharing results to the market. But that at this moment it's the only thing that is in the area of cooperation. All the rest is our standalone business.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
Your next question comes from the line of Luis Prota. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. It's Luis Prota from Morgan Stanley. Two questions, please. First is on landline internet. The revenues in the fourth quarter were flattish Q-on-Q, despite the net losses in subscribers being reduced in the third quarter and stabilized or even up in the fourth quarter. So wondering what are the dynamics there. I've seen that the standalone internet ARPU is down Q on Q as well. I don't know whether there's something that could justify that, and what should we expect in this business line. And the second question is on Orange and the already approved transaction and completed by Xavier Niel, whether you have heard locally anything on what their plans are, and you have discussed and already given the market your view on how difficult it is that they become disruptive and these things. But I would like to focus on whether you see feasible for them to move convergent and get wholesale deals with Swisscom, and whether there's gross margin available there that could penalize and take share from Sunrise. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Louis. So if I start off with the landline internet question, effectively, we have seen a stabilization and there's just 1,000 net adds. Yes, we see the TV upside, but there's also with the discount that we have introduced with Sunrise Home, there's also some accounting changes that have impacted the number. Nevertheless, in total, there hasn't been a lot of growth on the landline internet business yet. However, as we are actually seeing a continuation of the trends in the first quarter, we would expect that growth to kick in during 2015 and then also accelerating throughout the course of the year.
And just from my side on your question on Orange, yes, the transaction has been completed. We've not seen actually much from that side at the moment. So, you know, it's, for me, it's hard to comment on how the new owner is taking control of the company. We've actually not seen any movement from this perspective. To your question on, and we've spoken largely around how do we view this primarily as a ownership change as anything else, not changing really the market dynamics. Your question on the fixed line, however, you know, today they are not a fixed line player, therefore getting involved in that area requires investments, and we do see that today, you know, with our ability and our fully, you know, invested network as well as the local points of presence, you know, we're the only one who can really provide the fixed services nationally, not only through Swisscom but also through through the utilities. And you know, we believe with also the volume of the business that we have, so it's not just the terms, but it's also the volume of the business that we have with Swisscom, we are well positioned to build up a you know, good, successful, good margin business. And as you see, we've been able to actually turn around the trend in the wireline on the back of new product portfolio as well as on the back of the new wholesale deal with the co-investments that we've done with Swisscom.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Takis Tsiliopoulos. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Two questions, gentlemen. One is, could you share with us the plans in terms of LTE coverage, maybe by end 15, 16 or so, being now at 85% plus? And second one, a quick update on Sunrise TV 2.0. Are you still on track for launch this year? You know, what will be the new features, timing, you know, anything in that regard would help. Thank you.
Yeah, I would say first on the LTE side, as you know, we don't give the detailed plans out, but we're clearly in the fast rollout. We have been behind the two competitors last year because we've been really focused after refarming in June to July to make full use of our spectrum and launched UMTS on 900, therefore increased both the indoor penetration as well as our population coverage, and that's been very successful. And now we are in a fast rollout of LTE, you will just see us accelerating in this respect and, you know, following through and enabling the fast data growth on our network. However, you know, we don't give detailed numbers out for, you know, obvious competitive reasons. And then maybe on the Sunrise TV, you want to give an insight, Tim?
Sure. We have not really actually set any specific launch dates for Sunrise TV product 2.0. As you know, we are constantly looking at the quality of our product, which we deem to be very good. And we're also constantly working on the evolution of the product. Right now, we've done so with content. And, you know, I'm very confident that the product will be very good and improved throughout the course of this year. So I'm very happy with the development there, and yes, that's the only thing I want to say to that.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Sihi He. Please ask your question.
Sorry, Z, we can't hear you. Are you on mute, potentially?
Oh, yes, I just realized that. Sorry about that. Hi, this is Z from Berenberg. And I have three questions, if I may. My first question is in relation to the prepaid ARPU trend. We understand that the Q4 prepaid ARPU was under pressure for various reasons you've mentioned earlier. I was wondering if you can give us some help to see how you expect the prepaid ARPU to develop going forward. And my second question is about postpaid churn. We note that the postpaid churn throughout the year has not changed significantly. And I was wondering if you expect the postpaid churn to come down gradually as more customers are migrated to Freedom. And my last question is relation to the network sharing. And I was wondering if you can give us any update on that front. Thank you.
Maybe I just start with the last one because
sure.
Actually I just mentioned it in the previous question.
Yeah.
We continued the network sharing pilot. It's been some sort of delay at the ownership change, and
mm-hmm.
there are also technical implementations in that. So you know, it's still in the assessment project, and actually some of the things that require even IT releases on both sides in order to enable the pilot to fully function. So it's something that is in the plans to go through in the course of this year, and you know, there's nothing more to update than that.
I see. And just want to follow up on that. When do you expect we're going to hear from you regarding to the update?
In the course of this year, I would say in the second half of the year,
okay.
because there's still a number of steps that need to happen.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. So if I can step in for the prepaid question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key dynamic in prepaid, as we talked about the migration of prepaid customers to postpaid, effectively the highest value customers are migrating out. So that has been the key driver for ARPU decline. Now what we are seeing with the impact of moving out of the FreeSIM business, there actually should be some stabilization impact from that should be happening, but nevertheless, the trend of customers moving from prepaid to postpaid will continue. So therefore, we'll probably see a softening of the trend, but I think we will not see a complete stopping of that trend soon.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and maybe on the postpaid churn question, you know that we publish in the quarterly numbers also a churn number. Of course, that is a churn number for postpaid. That includes all portfolios and has been primarily also driven by the elimination of the rollover clause in the contracts, which happened in April last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that there was a mechanical change in the churn rate from that moment onwards. What I can also say at this point in time is that we see very strongly different churn rates across portfolios, with the Freedom portfolios being markedly better, and therefore I would expect eventually, as we move more customers towards the Freedom portfolio, to also that be reflected in the blended number that we publish.
Sure, thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
All right, so that actually closes our investor call for today. Thanks a lot for taking the time to join us on that call, and we hope to speak to you soon again. Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.